Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Cera Sanitaryware Limited Q1 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Devrishi Singh from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q1 FY20 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today the management team of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh B. Shah, CFO and COO of the company. We will begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we start, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer in this regard is available in the results documents that were shared with you earlier. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking time out to join the call. The earnings for the first quarter of FY20 were adopted by the Board of Directors yesterday on 1st August 2019. The earnings document has been released to the stock exchanges. Q1 FY20 has been a fairly challenging period for the industry, despite a challenging macro environment. The company's performance for the quarter has been encouraging. We believe that our strong leadership position, emphasis on stringent credit policies, and other inherent strengths have helped us to maintain a steady performance during Q1 FY20. Our recently launched products continue to receive an encouraging response from the market. We are confident of building on our Q1 performance in the coming quarters on the back of expected improvement in the macro environment and growing demand for our products. Now, we will cover the description for the last quarter, which is quarter one of the financial year 2020. Revenue for the quarter stood at 267 crores versus 281 crores in Q1 of 2018-19, which is down by 4.7% on a YOY basis. EBITDA, excluding other income for Q1 FY20, was 35.2 crores versus 35.3 crores in Q1 in 2018-19. The EBITDA margins for the period stood at 13.2%, higher by 60 basis points on the back of improving operational efficiencies. Profit after tax for Q1 was rupees 19 crores versus rupees 21 crores in Q1 FY19, registering a decline of 6.9%. EPS on a quarterly basis was 14.7 per share versus rupees 15.8 per share on a YOY basis. To conclude, things are moving in the right direction, and a strategy of offering newer products and improving our product mix are yielding positive results. With a diversified product basket, brand salience, strong R&D team, and a strong distribution network, we are well placed to drive future performance as well as consolidate our leadership position in the industry. On that note, I would now request the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Praveen Sahay from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. Can you give segment-level growth numbers?
Yes, we can. For Q1 2019-20, 51.5% of the top line was sanitary ware, 25.1% was faucet ware, tiles was 19.6% and wellness was 3.6%.
And how is the growth?
Sanitary ware declined by 12.7%. Faucet ware grew upwards by 9%. Tiles grew upwards by 2%. And wellness is a very small category.
Okay. Sir, also you had mentioned in the last call, there is a price hike in the month of April. The volume decline is on a higher number in sanitary ware.
Pricing strategy, as you know, in sanitary ware business is reviewed every October. So this April, the pricing was reviewed and most products received a 3 to 5% increase, which was implemented from 1st May.
Okay.
See, volume, again, we have discussed this, is, you know, not the best parameter to look at this company simply because there are so many SKUs and there are so many revolving SKUs. And lot of lower quality and lower technology products are being phased out and replaced by higher margin and technologically complex products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, the creamiest part of both faucetware and sanitaryware business is the replacement market, where the upgrades are happening, you know, where people are spending maybe 3x of their current product to upgrade. So that is where all the focus of the company is. So volume, again, is not the best way to look at the company.
Yeah, so last time also you had mentioned that premiumization trend is seeing in the company. So that trend is continuing.
Yes, this quarter, you see, there was headwinds from the market. We are 72% retail and only 28% projects and developer-led. So our sales are now 72% through dealers, which means retail customers, home improvements, home upgrades, etc. Now, those customers, we found in many cases, they have been postponing their decisions. At the same time, we don't want to offer extended credit to dealers or to projects. So that's why this value decline of 12.7% in sanitaryware that you see, that was one of the reasons. Because our receivable days, which were 54.6 in Q1 of 2018-19, remained at the same number at 55.4 in Q1 of 19-20. So there was virtually no change in receivable days, whereas the industry has really taken a hit on that front. So everybody's receivables have gone out of whack in order to maintain some kind of similar number of sales. So we found that at the retail end, there were a lot of postponement of decisions.
Okay, so last one, like as you are saying, that's a lot of postponement in the you know, the purchasing. So last time also you had said that the sanitary ware industry to grow at 7 to 10% annually. Will that you know, continue your guidance, or will see some kind of a correction as well?
See, on an industry level, you know, we don't get any third party data, so we just collect anecdotal data that our dealers give us and that our sales force gives us. So, to give you an example, in Q4, we grew from 360 crores to 413 crores. So, despite the slowdown, we had one of the best Q4s in 18-19. And that gave us the confidence to make guesstimates about 19-20. But we expect that in the coming quarters, things will turn around. And post-budget, post more emphasis on completion of affordable homes, not only in the form of Awas Yojana, but even the Prime Minister's statement that remove all obstacles in project completion for affordable homes. Those are the things which give us the confidence that the balance three quarters will play out on an even keel.
Okay, and also like for May, due to election, got impacted. So that's also...
And you know, we have been very, very conservative. This company's DNA is being extremely financially conservative. So that DNA, I don't think, is likely to change. and that was worked very well for us simply because we don't have any delinquencies. You know, we are very, very careful with projects. There are a lot of layers of security we build in before we supply to a project. So, tempting to take orders from projects and supply and get paid on a delayed basis, but that is something Cera has never done and unlikely to happen in the future. So, on the cash flow front, you'll find that on the balance sheet front, there's virtually no impact. On the top line front, yes, there is an impact of 12 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, please limit your questions to two per participant only. If time permits, you can come back in the queue for a follow-up question. The next question is in the line of Archana Gure from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
So thank you for taking my question. I missed your initial commentary. So two, three questions. Like, what's your outlook on FY20? And is it fair to assume that Q1 was one-off because of election?
We believe that the company for the past 6 years has had a CAGR of 15% on top line and 16-70% on bottom line. So the company's size doesn't allow us to give a firm guidance. We can always make a guesstimate. So our guesstimate remains that the same 15% growth may be possible for 4 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing some of the environment change and consumers who are postponing their decisions in April, May are coming back to inquire about products and home improvement, etc. So we are very hopeful of making things up from at least the end of H1.
Okay, okay. So you mean to say, per se, there is no demand slowdown in the market, in the retail market?
In the month of July? We found that in April, May, there was a pronounced slowdown because of the uncertainties of the elections, etc. And because of the overall credit squeeze in the market, we found people postponing their decisions. And we feel that that was a one-off event, yes. And things, of course, cannot change overnight, but we find things are changing in Q2, the impact of which you'll start seeing from maybe end of H1.
Okay. Okay. And so on this price front, like, you know, this 2% growth for this quarter, so, like, how are the things in Morbi and how's the competition setting up there?
In Morbi, though the NGT order came into effect in early March, there was unsold inventory with most unorganized players. So we find that that unsold inventory is still being liquidated. And the effect of the NGT order and the rise in costs for the unorganized players moving from coal gasified to natural gas has not yet taken place.
Mm-hmm.
But we also find on the bright side that GST implementation has become very strict and all coal gasified have shut. So everybody is now on a level playing field. So again, by the end of H1, if this overhang of inventory buildup, which was the inventory buildup of many years, gets fully absorbed in the marketplace, we feel that pricing power will return to tiles.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side as of now. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, could you please elaborate a little bit on the, with respect to the industry, whether are you seeing any green shoots or is just that we are hoping that the second half will be a better growth prospect?
You see, it's still possible to get large orders on projects if one company is willing to give extended credit. But we have been very careful that we don't want to increase our receivable days or receivable amounts and don't want any delinquencies. So because of that, you find no growth in our top line. In tiles, it's very easy to get such orders. In sanitaryware and faucetware, in any case, it's a technology brand and design-led market. So there the holy grail is always the retail customer, and that's 72% of our sales. So we feel that yes, Q1 was a one-off period where two, three things combined to make numbers lower than previous years, like not only the Credit Suisse, elections and many other things. So once that has gotten over, we believe that Q2 will be of course different, and then Q3 and Q4 will be back to a normal growth trajectory.
Right. Yeah. Have you seen the competitive intensity increasing, particularly in the faucet space in last, let's say, 2 to 3 years? Has that increased?
See, in the faucet has been our best performing segment in terms of growth. To give you an example, last year, the faucet business, which was maybe 200 or 210 crores in the year before, suddenly became a 270 crore, it became a 340 crore business. So the faucet industry size increased by about 800 crores, of which 70 crores was captured by Cera. 1/9 of the growth of the industry was captured at Cera, even though Cera is only a 340 crore player in an 8,000 crore industry. So faucet business has been particularly a strong performer. Even this quarter, it has increased by 6 crores despite whatever has happened in the external environment. And faucet margins are very close to sanitary ware margins in Cera's case.
Oh, they are close. Okay.
Yes, and the reason for that are 2-3 fold. We now have a comprehensive portfolio of products in the faucetware business. And I'll just give you the number on SKUs. In Cera faucets, we have crossed 850 SKUs. Last quarter, I think I said 600 or 650. Now we have crossed 850 SKUs in faucets. In sanitaryware, we have 332 SKUs. So now we have a comprehensive portfolio. Our plant is fully automated, right from the forged brass body of the faucet to the Zermak handle to polishing. It's a completely automated plant, and that is very visible to a consumer in the product, in the finished product.
Right. And the competitive intensity in the sanitary ware space?
The intensity of competition in sanitary ware was always there. But currently we are the largest market shareholder. So the pressure on us to continuously perform is always there, and it will remain. And that's why you see 1/5 of our product pipeline is new introductions in the last 24 months. So that number we try and keep as a constant.
Great. And just one last question, if I may, with respect to the premium mass and that kind of breakup with respect to sanitary ware and faucet.
Sorry, just say that again, premium?
Premium and non-premium mix.
You see, Cera is the main brand, and you know, Cera has 27 sub-brands. And bulk of them are addressing the mass market. So, if you right from affordable housing right to housing in metros. So, these 27 sub-brands or series, if you want to call them, has divided the market both on design and price.
Right. I was asking more from the premium part, what you said, you are shredding the low-end part of it. So I was just curious to know the mix, how much has that changed and what kind of mix do you see in next 3 to 5 years?
Currently, you know, more than 75-80% of the real estate industry is affordable housing. And by affordable housing, we mean housing in metros less than 50 lakhs, housing in non-metros below 30-35 lakhs. That is the largest part of projects being currently completed. And even for Cera, that has always been the focus. So it's not a new focus, it's always been the focus.
Got it. I'll come back in a little. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Nilesh Ghuge from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. So my question particularly, I would just want to know, ki, is my understanding correct? If suppose you have to go for a vitrified tiles, So you have to use natural gas to maintain product quality. Am I right in assuming that?
In the past, the Morbi cluster produced all sorts of tiles, whether it's double charged, GVT, which is the vitrified tiles, or soluble salt using coal gasified, some use natural gas, etc.
Okay.
Now with the NGT order in Morbi, there is no option but to use natural gas.
Yeah, but sir, outside Morbi, if suppose someone has unit and still they can make GVT tiles and maintain the quality?
Yes, of course.
It's not the problem. The operational, there is no problem as far as operation is efficiency. Yeah. And sir, my second question, in the export markets, how do you see the traction in export market? What we understand that the there is a sluggishness in the domestic market, and so the export market has picked up. So what is your thought on that and how that market will be?
In tiles or overall in sanitary?
Tiles particularly, sir.
Tiles, we estimate that 28,000 crores is the domestic industry and about 14,000 crores is additionally the export market from India. Those were the last numbers we had. And very few tile companies have been able to establish a brand in overseas markets. They are still being sold as a commodity.
Okay.
So to get pricing power in other markets, you know, the market leaders will take the first step and establish their brand in those markets.
Mm-hmm.
Era's top line in tiles for the entire year was about 250 crores. So for Sera,
okay.
It doesn't make sense to, you know, go and establish a brand outside the country.
Okay. But what about the other players? Is there any volume uptake in the export market? Is it like that?
It was largely price-driven.
Okay. Okay.
And India has been very competitive. You know, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, India was an importer of tiles from China and other markets.
Yes, yes. That's why I'm asking. How the current scenario is?
14,000 crores is a very sizable export base. So, hopefully that will grow.
Okay.
But, despite the costing of tiles makers having gone up due to change from coal gasifier to natural gas.
Okay. So what are your plan then? Are you looking for that export opportunity or you are still happy with the domestic growth?
Yeah, predominantly a sanitaryware and faucet company with 80% of our top line from these two businesses.
Correct.
That ratio of 80-20 is something we want to maintain.
Okay.
And India is a very lucrative market because, you know, it's a brand, Sera has been around for 4 decades.
Hmm.
And that brand translated into a new market, whether it's in the Gulf or Far East.
Hmm.
Long time takes a huge amount of marketing spend, after sales service. You know, we have 250 people currently in our after sales service department. We have a 1-800 number, 24-hour call center, taking customer service requests, technicians in every cities who visit customers in between 24 hours and 48 hours for after-sales service, etc. So building that kind of infrastructure in a new market, you know, it's a challenging job.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Mehta from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, just wanted to understand on the depreciation side. So, why has the depreciation jumped this quarter? Hello?
Yes, yes. We can hear you.
Yes, sir. And the other thing is that the tiles revenue has again slowed down this quarter. So, what is your guidance for growth in the tile segment for the entire FY20 and FY21?
See, first I'll come to the Ind AS.
Yeah.
The accounting norms under Ind AS have changed, which require recognition of rent via capitalized form in change in depreciation and finance cost. So the interest cost was impacted to the extent of an increase by 44 lakhs and depreciation cost was impacted to the extent of 1.47 crores.
Okay, sir. And sir, this would continue going forward, right?
a change in accounting norms.
Yeah, okay, so we should build in that, okay. And sir, what about tiles?
Tiles, you see, again, we expect that things in the tiles business is changing dramatically. So, those who visit Morbi would know very well that there was an overhang of inventory before the NGT order, and that is taking about 6 months to get absorbed in the market. As soon as that is absorbed, and now there is already a level playing field on costs, because everybody is now GST compliant and everybody is on natural gas from Morbi. So post these two factors, now there will be pricing power returning to the industry post H1.
Okay, sir. And sir, one last question. On the sanitary ware side, so this was a kind of industry-wide phenomenon. All the other players also, are you aware that have they seen any degrowth for 1Q at least?
We'll wait for everybody's data to come out and then we'll be able to take a, you know, call on the industry-wide phenomena. But we found that at least a company like Cera, who is not at all keen to extend credit beyond its normal norms, there was a slight postponement of decisions by the end consumer.
Okay, sir. Yeah. Thank you for the same.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sonali Salgaonkar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So my questions are pertaining to the industry largely. Now, how do you view the housing market right now? I know that you have earlier commented that, you know, almost 75 to 80% of the real estate or the target customers for us are affordable housing. But generally, for affordable housing, is that a lucrative market for branded market leaders like us?
See, that is where the maximum activity is currently taking place. And, you know, Cera has 27 sub-brands in sanitaryware and 24 sub-brands in faucetware. Now, to a consumer, we will always say that we have divided and sliced the market on design. But in reality, it is basically dividing the market on price. So there is a product at every slight change in price point, right from mass housing right up to premium housing. And Cera has got a complete brand pyramid with, you know, Senator just above Cera, which is a premium brand, and then a made in Italy and Turkey brand called Isvia, which is at the luxury end. So we have a pyramid which is complete. Then for absolute government tenders, we have a brand called Jeet, which is neither advertised nor displayed at our showrooms. So we believe that not only with the Awas Yojana, but even the impediments to project completion is now being completely removed by state governments and other authorities. There's a lot of velocity in that business of affordable housing. And margins on a per piece, on an absolute basis, might look low, but on a percentage basis and a total volume, it's quite healthy.
Okay, so typically, I mean, you can give us an approximate differential. What would be the delta of margins between, say, your premium brands which you cater to, urban real estate versus, you know, government projects and affordable housing?
Government projects are a very minuscule part of our business currently. Because in the past, we never allowed the Cera brand to be associated with that kind of discounting and tender. That's why we have this brand called Jeets, which is neither advertised nor displayed. But that continues to be a very minuscule part of our business, less than 2%. And going forward, that might increase. In private sector, affordable housing and mass housing, Cera has certain series which caters to that market. So that delta, you know, I mean, they are more than 50 sub-brands, so it will be very difficult to slice on that basis. But it will be similar to the overall sanitaryware business margins.
Sure. So, and secondly, how do you see the urban real estate from here on, especially in H2 FY20, wherein, you know, most of the companies are expecting some sort of green shoots in revival? Do you echo those thoughts as well?
I would say outside of tier 1 cities, there are already green shoots, but there's too much mind share of news on metro city housing. So outside of tier 1 and even outside of tier 2 cities, there are already green shoots in both velocity and stages of completion. You know, because completed projects in most cases in mass housing are getting sold and getting absorbed. So outside of that tier 1 and sometimes even tier 2 cities, there's a lot of activity.
So this activity that you just mentioned, are you referring to the affordable housing projects or the mass real estate?
You know, to us, below 35 lakhs is a number we normally use for affordable housing outside tier 1 and tier 2 cities. And that is more than 70% of the national market in any case.
Got it, sir. So last question, so what would be the replacement cycle for, you know, sanitary ware and faucets? By that, I mean the average life cycle for our products.
You know, it's depends on people's perception of home improvement. A product can easily last 25 years in sanitary ware, but anything between 17 to 20 years is the normal replacement cycle, and for faucet ware around 10 years. In any case, our faucet, the body of the faucet, which is completely brass forged, is carrying a 10-year warranty. So in most states, RERA has asked for a 5-year warranty, and our products carry a 10-year warranty.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is from the line of Omkar Kulkarni, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Oh yeah, in this quarter you have seen a decline of 4-5% in revenue, even though your EBITDA has held up quite nicely. The slowdown was also visible when the demonetization and GST, but that time your revenues were at least growing at a single to high double digits. So what was different this time that your revenues actually fell to 5%?
3 years ago, demon time, the company was 45% smaller. So, to give you an example, 18-19 we closed with 1350 crores of top line. Demo time, our top line would be about 800 crores. So, a lot of it has to do with base effect.
Okay, so it's only to do with the base effect.
Bulk of it is to do with the base effect. But the silver lining over here is, you see, PAT and EBITDA are not that impacted. In most cases, a slight change in sales impacts the EBITDA and PAT a lot. So bulk of our costs are variable in nature is what you can make out. The cost behavior you see, a bulk of it is variable. So that's something that's emerged from this quarter as well.
Okay, and you said that the bulk orders which you receive in tiles should have received, but because of credit problems you have deferred that.
Historically, if you have followed the company, you will find that this company is remained debt free.
Yeah,
it
correct.
Never takes working capital. It's got, now it's got 191 crores cash and cash equivalents. And if you track that number on a Q on Q basis, that number is increasing by about 10 to 15 crores every quarter, despite ongoing capex programs, etc. So, you know, there is always a temptation to take large orders, etc. But we know that, you know, delinquency, etc. is a problem that has faced our competitors in the past, and we never want to take any kind of risks on that front.
Okay. So, you have mentioned around 190 CR of cash you have. So, how do you plan to utilize it? Like, apart from regular capex and maintenance capex and all, I don't think we will be putting up new capacity. So what's the plan to utilize that?
I can give you the number for this year. We have a planned capex program of 56 crores.
Okay.
Of which 20 crores will go into sanitary ware automation. 9 crores will go into faucetware automation, 10 crores will go into customer touchpoint additions,
okay.
17 crores will go into completion of the staff colony near our factory, which is almost complete currently. 4 crores will go into logistics and IT. So all this totals 56 crores.
Okay, apart from that, any like capacity you are thinking? I don't think so. That is the that is in your mind currently.
You see, this automation projects in both sanitaryware and faucetware, they have more qualitative impact on the products. So less
okay.
handling by labor, etc. So that results in better quality, higher realization, etc. More, you know, I mean, less rejection. So that's more cost side and quality side benefit. In any case, across all sanitaryware and faucetware business and tiles business, around 50% of current sales are outsourced.
Okay. Oh yeah, and just one last question.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kulkarni.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Karan Patelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning. Sir, how is the capacity utilization, you know, across the product verticals?
One second, I'll just give you the number. For sanitaryware, first I'll give you the outsource and own capacity number, so that will give you a handle on, you know. Sanitaryware, own manufacturing is 49%, outsourcing is 51%. Faucetware own manufacture is 44.5% and outsourcing is 55.4%. And tiles is a mix of 100% outsourcing through JVs and from vendors. Within sanitaryware, capacity utilization for the quarter was 85%, and in faucetware, capacity utilization for the quarter was 58%.
And versus YOY?
For the year, I have the for the year number handy.
Okay. That number I have.
80 and 70.
Also, sir, out of the total other expense, how much is the rental expense and how the adjustment has been done?
Total adjustment of 1.68 crores was done. And that included increase in interest and depreciation. And those were post-EBITDA items.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swamil Mehta from BNP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, taking one of the questions ahead, if I look at the most of the building materials category this quarter, be it, you know, paints, tiles, there has been a volume growth, whereas, you know, what we see is a revenue decline in a YOY basis. So is it more got to do with the channel destocking or there is competitive intensity going up because, you know, Jaguar has, you know, entered aggressively into the sanitary space? You know, your thoughts on that?
All our competitors were, in any case, the competitive intensity was always very high. And Cera being the market leader, everybody focuses on Cera and Cera's products. So that competitive intensity has always been high. We just found that dealers don't want to stock as much, yes, as you said correctly, and the end consumers have been postponing their decisions. So these were the two factors which were evident to us. And as far as our 28% of our business of projects is concerned, we took a call just to be extremely careful on credit. And that has been, again, a historic policy. So no change over there.
Okay, okay. So, you know, going forward, our stated objective to do about 13-14% revenue growth, that remains intact with about, you know, margins about 14-15%, which has been a historical level.
That is our expectation for the full year. So we know we've never given out any guidance. We have always said that this is a guesstimate because a company of 1350 crores is still too small to give out a definite guidance.
And in terms of our venture into tiles, how do we look at that business over the next 2-3 years? So will be continue to be more of outsourcing, or rather the manufacturing will start going up from what it is right now? Because historically tiles as a business has been much margin dilutive compared to sanitary. So how do we see that business structurally over the next 3 to 5 years?
In tiles, there were 2-3 reasons why tiles was an important component of business. There is a customer overlap, there is a certain dealer overlap, and of course there is a transferability of the brand promise. Those were the positives. Yes, the margins are nowhere close to faucetware and sanitaryware, but things are changing in tiles. There was a time 3-4 years ago where tiles margins were healthy, but there was a glut in production, and that is now currently changing. So post H1 we feel that the inventory overhang, if it gets fully absorbed, pricing power will return.
Okay, and my last question on sanitary, was the slowdown evident across Pan India, or some certain geographies there was a much larger slowdown or basically stronger presence?
No, that was an overall phenomenon, not limited to any states.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mansi Patel from Purantara Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sorry to interrupt, Mansi, we're not able to hear you clearly.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Your audio is sounding very soft.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead, Mansi.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask you regarding the growth effect for Sera, I know you answered that it is about 15% top line growth, and in Q3 and Q4 also we said that the margins will be sustainable. So what is the future outlook like for the remaining quarters or FY 2021?
I couldn't hear that clearly, but whatever I could make out, you're talking about the outlook for the remaining 3 quarters. So
in terms of margins and in terms of top line growth.
Yes, so we feel that the EBITDA margins of 14.5-15% that the company earned in FY19 should remain intact for this year once you have a chance of collating all 4 quarters. Even for this quarter, we had an EBITDA margin of 14.11. So I think this is the lowest it will go. It should only go up from here.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mahesh Kabra from BSK Group. Please go ahead. Mahesh, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, my questions have been actually answered, but I'm happy to hear your confidence about 300 crore top line growth over next 3 quarters, 15% would be roughly that. So that means over next 3 quarters we would be adding roughly 70 crore top line each. Is that correct understanding?
It may not be in a linear fashion. Even last year the maximum growth happened in the last quarter from 360 crores to 413 crores. So we added about 53 crores in the last quarter. Mm-hmm. And we expect if we add about 40 to 50 crores in Q2 and little more in Q3 and Q4, then the same growth trajectory will remain intact.
And same situation would be for margin. Yeah, just now probably in the last question you have said that 14.1 is probably your bottom margin and you would be improving from here, right?
Yes, the overall margin last year EBITDA margin was in the last quarter, Q4 was 16.82, and for the year it was 15.35. So 14.5 to 15 is where we expect we should end this year.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Hemant Patel from Alder Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just have two questions. The first being, do you track secondary sales as well in your system?
So we dealers offtake products from the company, and each dealer normally services anything between 5 and 25 retailers, cruising their own, you know, three-wheelers, their own godown, storage space, etc. So beyond the dealers, yes, we are currently rolling out one ERP system which has a lot of AI tools and big data tools which will help dealers track movement of not only Cera's products but overall consumer behavior, try and save them some costs on logistics. So that process is currently on during this year.
Okay, so my intent was to ask from the perspective that you mentioned earlier, that there's a certain level of destocking which is happening at the dealer level. Just trying to understand whether retail and consumer offtake has been a better off than the dealer level primary offtake.
It's a mix of both the factors, you know. I mean, liquidity crunch was felt at the dealer level as well. Now, we do have a small program for channel financing, and we have SBI as our channel financing partner. But we've not encouraged that very much because we don't want dealers to, you know, get access to a lot of liquidity and then, you know, tracking that liquidity, etc. They may not have the financial discipline of a large company. So we've never really actively encouraged channel financing. So you'll find that dealers have also faced liquidity issues from maybe their other businesses. Some of them are dealers in cement, pipes, many other products. So combination of end consumer postponing their decisions and dealer liquidity issues have led to the current numbers that we have on top line.
Okay, fair enough. And do you run any kind of active cost reduction programs that we can be aware of, or can you call it out as to what kind of savings that you are planning to actually run through in the system?
On the shop floor, we have many active programs, whether it's waste. So let me give you some background on the company's energy saving activities. More than 90% of the electricity consumption in the factory is self-generated and generated through renewable energy sources. So we have about 10.8 megawatts of own capacity in wind and solar. So we don't have to pay anything to the GEB beyond 5-7% of our power consumption in the factory. That's one. Then there are a lot of, you know, the waste material recovery projects ongoing, especially for faucetware, brass, etc. Then on the natural gas front, yes, I'll just give you a number for last year and also for this year. We have two sources of natural gas. One is from GAIL and one is Sabarmati. So GAIL gas is a subsidized gas because it's from isolated wells in and around Kadi, which is where our factory is located in Mehsana district. And the pricing is most often 40 to 45% lower than Sabarmati gas. For the year, the ratio of GAIL is to Sabarmati was 52 and 47 Sabarmati. But this quarter, we were able to get more allocation of GAIL, so the ratio was 71 GAIL and 28 Sabarmati.
Okay.
So those are the important cost energy saving activities. And then you see from our CapEx program, if you look at the CapEx program of the last 3 years, bulk of it has revolved around automation in the factory. So reduction in human intervention, whether it's robotic arms for glazing, and there are many other such AI tools that have been used on the shop floor. There's 3D printing for prototyping, robotic arm for glazing. Human intervention at every step has been reduced in an industry known for very, very high level of human intervention.
And just one last question, if I may. This is regarding FY19. Could you share the volume value growth for faucets and sanitary, if you can?
For FY19. Yes. Sanitary ware was 52% of top line. So you can divide everything by 1,359.
Okay.
And faucet ware was 23.5% of top line. Sanitary ware 52.5, faucet ware 23.5, tiles 20.5, and wellness 3.4.
No, I was referring to value volume growth of faucet and sanitary ware.
Yes, so then I'll give you 17-18, where you can divide everything by 11-82.
Okay. Okay.
So in 17-18, you divide the ratios that I'm giving you by 11-82. Sanitary ware was 56.2, faucet ware 22, tiles 19.9, and wellness 1.8.
All right. All right, sir. Thanks a lot. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand over the conference to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. It will always be our endeavor to answer all questions. Should any participant feel the need for further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our IR team or me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on the call, and see you all next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Please stay up.